the English radio at that house, and she lives next door.
The who?
In Lonavla.
The European lady?
Yes, the English. Mm. But she was very nice. And then there, it was a little like a hill, and down there was like a water, a cellar water and a well. And there were all snakes and things there. And then Manny slept on the balcony. And she always felt that if some hand would come underneath her bedding, you know, no, or somebody would touch her. Yeah. And then once we asked Baba, mm-hmm. and we told, but I never felt it. You know, I think they don't come. I'm too strong. Maybe they don't touch. No, no, they don't come. Anyhow, I don't know. I would like once to see a ghost or something, but I don't. And then Baba said that there was in that well a lady had committed suicide, and you see, because then they can't. They it seems also. I mean, I think I'm right if I say that. The Baba said if they commit suicide, they can't. They feel the longings of the body when they have no body, and they can't so quickly reincarnate. That's why also he has to have a night watch, because they always come mm-hmm. and touch and want to have relief. Yeah. And also they come and touch other people because they want, you know, they would like to also sleep and eat and all what we do. And they can't, that's till a certain time. Mm-hmm. But you see, I'm careful, I don't tell this to friends I know they had somebody in the family who committed suicide, because for them it's bad if I should tell them.
Well, I always feel though that if somebody... It's a Baba lover's family and they committed suicide. Mm-hmm. They're helped because...
Yes, that's different. Yes, that's it. But you see, amongst my other friends, whom or relations who know about Baba, it was because they had no cool boxes, I think. Yeah. But in India, you could never give something twice on the table.
Well, even today, like her mom, we got her a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And even she has a refrigerator, still she doesn't like to eat. Her brother won't eat leftovers.
Yes.
Even they have a refrigerator.
Yes.
You know, because of that.
Yes, but that was, you see, one forgets why these rules were. They were because you couldn't keep the food.
For health.
Also,
we do too.
But my brother, you know, he has from childhood's habit, you know.
Yes.
To have everything fresh.
Mm.
So next day we offer him, you know, something, and he will ask for, this is not from yesterday.
Oh, yes, but you know, in a way, I mean, I think, but there are some things. So, for instance, those masoor dal is better if it's cooked over.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I can sit down and move over here. Make sure.
Well, let's hope I know what you want to know.
Well, you know, like I mentioned in the letter, you know, Mara talks a lot about. Do you want a pillow by
me? No, I have one. Okay. Yes.
Mara, you know, whenever she talks about the end of days in the ashram, she's always mentions you quite a bit.
Yes.
And how you used to be interested in horses and so on.
Yes.
And so many different things.
Yes.
And, you know, she really has a fond affection for you more than any of the other Westerners, because your interests were similar also. So,
yes, but you see, the thing was also Baba had said, I should keep as much as possible near to Mara.
Well, when was that?
In India. Once he told me. And I used to really, I liked all everybody else. And you see, that time the girls used to be, I think, you know, they always had to be together. Korshet, Nadia, Meru wasn't there then. The girls had to be always together. None had to be, if one had to go to the toilet, the others had to stand nearby. Yeah. They never had to separate. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice that even in Ken. But then Baba told me in India, so keep as near as possible always to Mera. And I like the Westerners, and I got on well with them, more or less. And I was also, I liked Margaret very much, but I had really the fondest I had, not because she's Mara, but because personally, you see, she was the one also who never annoyed Baba. She never... and Baba gave her quite, you know, ask what you think or like that. But she never, her motives were never selfish. And she didn't play sort of the queen of the ashram, which she was. Yeah. She never did that. She was always, but she had a very great dignity. Mm-hmm. Even when she was young, you know, because at that time in 37, she was still young. And Baba said, and also she used to, let me help in Baba's work, also wash Baba's Sadas or more Walu said, but the silk coats or the woolen coats, things like this. And I used to also sew for her and teach all the others also sewing. And I used to sew especially blouses for Mira also. And I personally had a very strong connection and still have. Yeah. You see, now, be careful. I don't want that they will feel wrong. You cut those things out. Because you see, I'm very fond of money also. But it's not the same as I'm fond of Mira. But not because you know, first, it wasn't so apparent that she had a special role.
Well, in 37, when you first met her,
yes.
You know about Mira before that or anything?
No. I only knew there were, I know only that when I came, there were the girls, and I even didn't realize that they always never were to leave a room alone or anything. They always had to keep together. I didn't notice. I usually have a very sharp eye, I have a detective eye. But there, I didn't see anything. You see, anyhow, I was off the ground, you know, with it was a great upheaval in my inside of this meeting with Barbara, because at that time even, Mira used to, in that Guardian, that, you know, that photo where Barbara had made this stern face in Villa Caldana, there was a Guardian like this, and Mira sat on one side and I sat on the other side on the floor. And Mira had her head like this, and I used to have my head on Barbara's lap. And they used to sort of, you know, I thought probably he used to take things out, works out of my head, I don't know. And also when we went to I'm only very careful about saying that because not to hurt others, but where there was a very big fireworks in Cannes. I don't know if you've heard of that. And then they rented it a park and a house which was just, there was the road and then the shore just where the fireworks were. And there was a little platform in the garden, you know, with a fence around, a little raised from the garden. And there Barbara sat with the girls. And then Hedy was at that time with Anna-Katrin at Capo di Monte as a guest. And she always wanted to put Anna-Katrin near to Barbara. And Barbara sent her back and he made me sit near him. And you see, I wouldn't tell this to Hedy, or I don't want this to be published, because I think this hurts, and then it looks as if I am so proud of myself, but that has nothing to do, because like this, sometimes you have to go through many more hardship if Baba takes you so close. But Baba actually, even in Cannes already, he had Mira here and he had me here. And I felt also with Mira, I mean, I'm not good like she is, but there is some twin soul, because we had many things in common. The horses and many, I don't know. I think I never had anything. I had never anything that I would have been offended or hurt or anything from Mira, which from others I had sometimes, you know, you have squabbles and we also had fights and all that. But of course this one forgets. But I had always a very strong connection with Mira. And Barbara even has said to me once, keep always as close as you can to Mira. And I'm not quite sure, but I think it was that when Mira first was allowed to write letters, because at that time she was not allowed to write or do any, read or anything. And she was kept terribly strict. And before we came, even more strict. That even when they went outside, Barbara put a curtain around over her, and you see, she would never, even if there was, she would even shut her ears if there would be a man near. And but I didn't realize these things really, because somehow it was just natural. But Barbara also, I don't know if she wrote it in one of the letters. I haven't now had time to read, or she said it, that Barbara had before when she was to start to write letters, because sometimes Meru writes them. You also see sometimes it's not the same. Some is Mera's writing and some is Meru's writing. But it seems that Barbara had told her to write, when she started writing letters, first to start writing with me to practice. And I mean, I don't know, that's how what I remembered. And I don't know if it was she told me in Solduno, but that's my impression I have kept. And I can tell you, I have a terribly strong affection for her. And I'm not, you see, I'm more, I have love for everybody, but I don't easily get so attached. Also, they asked me in Myrtle Beach if I got on with the Easterners, but I honestly tell you that I had really more. I felt almost closer with the Easterners than I felt with the Westerners. Although I liked them all, but I was not with Noni. Yes, Noni was also. She was a wonderful. I think, I don't know if you've heard of her, Rano's mother. She also. She was somebody who never displeased Baba. She really, when you think what she, how she was used in her life before and how she was on those trips and everything with her arthritis, she was really also very wonderful. I think she was one of, I think from the Westerners, I think she was the top from what I could from outside see. But I didn't get attached to anybody. I liked them. I, and they also asked me if I, if Norina wasn't difficult or anything, there was one, especially one young one in Mertwich, Ron, or I don't know what his name was, who always asked lots of questions. And he said, oh, if I, if, because, you know, people tell all sorts of rumors around. And I said, no, I like Norina. Only I played a trick on her because she once didn't let me have the dog upstairs when we meditated. She said she would get the shock. Then I thought if she can meditate properly, she won't get a shock if the dog moves. And then I said this once, it's really bad. I took revenge in that way because we had such only, the vessels had sort of curtains around the mosquito net, but they were, you could see through. And I wondered why she never went, you see, she was so fashionable and so, although with nothing, we had one cupboard together and, you know, she had no facilities or anything. And I wondered why she never cleaned her teeth downstairs. And then, I saw that she used to take her teeth out and wash them upstairs. And that was my silly thing. That was my revenge on her not letting my Gracie upstairs because I was ill at the time. And that dog was very often upstairs under my bed.
But this Gracie was your pet?
Yes, Gracie, I have a photo somewhere.
Yeah, I saw
it. Yes, it was half of a fox terrier white. And she was so sweet afterwards when they left. We had to leave her at Pimple Gown, at Armgown, no, at Armgown, at the village, to somebody. And you know, she, every time we came back to Mirabad, that Gracie knew as long as she was alive. And she had lots of male friends with, you know, big tails and all that, and sometimes seven young ones. And whenever she noticed that we were in Mirabad, she used to come up. And she was full of ticks, you know, and I had to clean her again. But she was, and she didn't take food.
So she lived in Mirabad.
Yes, but after she was given downstairs to some villagers who were very kind to her. But of course she got these ticks like the dogs. But she had like a smiling face. And she always used to come up the hill as soon as she noticed that we were back. And she came for only what she wanted, sometimes a little bit. She used to look at the water, tap little water. But she didn't take any food because she was so... such a loving, you know, these Baba animals were loving. But now you want to ask something else, also. Is this answered enough for Mira?
A little bit. I mean, do you remember anything else, sort of watching how Mira would be with Baba that, you know, showed you, like, how much she loved Baba and how sweet she was?
Yes, she was, you see, she was very sweet to Baba. And she did all the things, you know. But it was done in such a... never in a showing manner. You know, not like we would say if we are in love, you know, we potter about with somebody and do all sorts of things and overdo. She would never be showing that way. But she would always watch Baba and she would react on anything, whatever he would want. And she would always, everything would be ready. No, she would keep everything ready for him. And her attention, you could see there was nothing that I mean, she had interest in Simon, but the whole interest was only put in Baba. And you see, she was absolutely, the image of humbleness. Because you see, some people, I know some got annoyed because when Baba decided something, he sometimes used to ask Mira to say something, yes or no. And then people think, yes, because Mira said it, but Baba had his reason, and Mira never did, chose if Baba said two things. It was never selfishness when she, you see, Baba said, I don't know now, I don't remember, should we go to cinema or not, I don't know. I don't remember those moments. But it was when Baba said, and if she said yes, we would go, and if she said no, we would not go. But I feel that she would always answer the way Baba wanted her to answer. You see, the strange thing is, she has a strong personality. But But still, that is something, because usually if you have a strong personality, you can't be humble. You know, you can't submit to somebody else. Or then you are a person who has no ideas on her own. But with her, you felt she had this, because to stick through all, she had to be very strong. But yet she could be humble. That's why I think it's so great. Because it's easy if you are sort of dumb to say yes to everything. And you see, she was brought up in a very nice home, and as a child she had her own horse and she went to a good school, and she really came very young. And you know, at that time it was terribly strict before we came. And even when we came first, we couldn't go to a cinema. The first cinema we went to with Mare was this cartoon from Walt Disney. And I think even Sarah had, if I don't remember now, but if say it, Disney would have been shown it before, he would have had to cut that out. And we went first to cartoons, because she was not to see any other male. Yeah. But you see, I think this was, I don't know, but this was Barbara's training. But later, and I think the first time she really came in contact with men was in the accident in America. And then afterwards in 52. And then afterwards in Switzerland when she went to the doctor, to the normal doctor, you know. The doctor also. I found the bill the other day, and from that doctor, from Dr. Andina, who treated Baba and who treated Mera, and it is written Mr. Irani and Mrs. Irani, because he didn't know. Of course, we wouldn't explain.
Yeah, how do you spell his name?
Andina, A-N-D-I-N-A, Andina. He was a very good doctor, you know. Haiti knew who was good. Mm-hmm. I have even the bills. I have somewhere.
Yeah.
I found them the other day.
But I'll go back to 52. Yes. Let me just ask you a little bit about Haiti and Walter. Do you know Haiti's middle name, or Walter's middle name? Okay.
Well, how you mean middle name?
Her full name. You know.
Well, you see here. Haiti Mertens, but before she married Walter, she was called Haiti Rully.
No, but her.
If she has a second family, a second. I don't think she has a second. I think Haiti is her own, only one name.
And do you know about how old, like when she was born, or Walter? Was she born about 1894?
I know exactly her date. It's the 15th of September.
Yeah. And Walter, was he?
That I don't remember.
Older than her?
He was older than her. Definitely.
A few years,
yes. And he was married first to a Dutch lady. Mm-hmm. And Haiti was married first, and Haiti had two children before, mm-hmm. a girl and a son. And Walter had three children. Mm-hmm. And then together they had two, and this one was Toby, who is now in America, and the other is Peter. And these two.
And Anna Catherine.
That was from the first marriage of Haiti.
Anna Catherine
and Wolfie were of the first marriage of Haiti, and the others I don't know the names everybody of Walter's children. There were three.
And you know Helen Dahm, did she have a second name, Helen something Dahm?
No, because she was not married. Mm-hmm. No.
Do you know her age?
Well, I could find out. I can't tell you just that the president.
Older than Haiti.
Yes, she was older, but she's about the same age like Lorena and Nadine. But I can tell you exactly because I have, I can tell you after. I can find out because I have her papers. And there when it says it would have been her 100th birthday, and her birthday I think was on the 19th of May or something like this. But I can tell you that the year by when I see this, she would have had her 100th birthday some time ago. And big and feast.
Your middle name starts with a B, doesn't it?
No, I'm Arin Ruth Billow.
And you were, what's your birthday?
22nd September 1916. I'm 65 now, I will be 65 this year.
And in Kansas, wasn't there a girl from Czechoslovakia named Ilse?
Yes, she was Ilse, but what her other name was, I don't know.
Your age?
No, she was a little younger. I'm sure she was about 2 years or 3 years younger. She was only about 16 or 17 or something like this. Mm-hmm. And you see, she was more like hired. Mm-hmm. You see, she was...
So how did she... Who hired? Kitty?
No, not Kitty. I don't know who, from whom, but some somebody. And she did love Baba, but afterwards we didn't hear anything anymore about her. But she was a very sweet girl. Mm-hmm. But she was really hired as a household help.
You know, you mentioned you had Helen Dahm's papers and everything.
Yes.
She, when she was in India in 1938, she had a sketchbook. She used to do some sketches.
Yes, but that's what they also think. This is the one painting that the Heflingers have. But I don't know, they had to have it redone, it was broken. And this is in gold and on cellophane, and this is only the photo. But this is there is another photo. I have another photo in a wishing card where there is a painting of Baba from Helen Dahm. I found yesterday when I looked off, no, not yesterday, but when I was tidying up things for your coming. And then but the sketches that they also say, where have they gone?
Some book or sketchbook.
Yeah. Yes, but somehow they also, people ask me, where have they gone? The things are lost. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, Helen Dahm only became famous, and she was the first woman to become the art prize of Switzerland after she had come back from India.
Mm.
Before she was good, but she was not famous. Mm. Later she became very famous.
Mm.
And I have that book here of her paintings, which I had to send afterwards in her name to Baba. And in one of the letters, Mera mentions our money that they thank for the book which Helen had sent.
Mm-hmm.
They must still have it, I think, if it wasn't disposed of when they had all this new life.
I'm sure they
have. Yes.
You know, you mentioned your nephew did Night Watch.
Yes.
What's his full name?
Conrad. K-O-N-A-D. R-A-D, yes, Konrad Köthner. Wait, I think I write it quickly. Well, it's also, he's written in that book, but I don't know if he's written his full name.
Conrad.
Or you can also read the N-E-R, Köthner. Maybe you write it yourself. You see, instead of O with two dots, you can write O-E.
Mm-hmm. And about how old was he when he did Night Watch?
Wait. I should, this I could find out because somewhere I have his birth date. I think I haven't got it in his thing, but if not, I could write to him. I could ask him and I could let you know. But only I have to write it on the paper so I won't forget. I think I have some. I wouldn't want to say something which is not right, because I can find out even exact. I also know his exact birthday. I know his birthday, even that I know exactly. But at his date, if it's yes, then I'll find out.
Well, you know, when you first went to Cairns, like in the book, the Baba's biography, there's the only place where we're really there's direct quotes from people is their first meeting with Baba. You
yes,
know, it's just a small thing. So maybe you could just describe how that. When you first saw Baba, like he was sitting or you came in the room or something, you know, in your own words. This was in
I think I've said this somewhere. I was just like, you know, that photo. Somehow I had felt that I've come back. I've come home. And I have felt that that's something as great as I have never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And a tremendous feeling of love.
Yeah. No, just you, Baba was already there, and then you came a little bit
I came two or three days, or a few days later.
So after you arrived, did you see Baba immediately?
As soon as I arrived, they brought me before Baba. When Elizabeth brought me, maybe, I don't know if I could put my bags in the room or not, but still, that immediately she introduced me to Baba. She picked me up, and then, you see, I had the feeling that she thought I was coming like a servant, but I didn't say anything because I thought otherwise they won't, they don't dare to ask me to do the work.
So was Baba in the sitting room or upstairs?
No, I think even downstairs.
Downstairs.
I think downstairs. That I can't tell you exactly because the whole thing was so over there. But then also Baba said that I think the next day, the evening already, I had to sit near, you know, as I told you now. And I mean, now I really am surprised because I feel that Baba wanted, probably knew exactly that I was coming to India. And he had to do the work quick with me, you know, because I was young and I could be sidetracked and I was half engaged and, you know, and all that, all those sort of things. And I mean, I wasn't like that life had treated me badly. I mean, I was had a nice home and nice family and I didn't have to go to work. And I almost had too much freedom, I mean, in a good way. And so I think Baba pampered me really very much, because every morning when the others were not there, he came down and I used to heat the water, you know, because it had to be heated with coal. And he used to come down before the others came down. And I used to go early to, so that the water would be hot for them to have baths. And he always used to embrace me. And every time, and you see, he had to come a little bit to my level to bring me up Yes, I don't know how I explain. And even once he embraced me so much that my passport is passed. But that, of course, I won't try it. Because if somebody reads it, they might. But he embraced me so much that every morning, and once when he didn't come, then I felt terrible. But you know, he only wanted me to feel how it was when he didn't come. I realized that later in India, when he used to sort of kiss everybody goodnight or hug everyone and then leave one out. And Rano knows that also. And, but that is often not but there. And also, I was the only one to do his rooms afterwards. First, somebody else did, but then Baba said, no, from now on, only Arin is to enter my rooms and make the beds. And that's where I collected the...
Yeah, how did you... I mean, you were so new. How did you know to collect Baba's gear?
No, but I knew that that was... Yeah, but you know, I wasn't so little since 36. I knew that hair means something... There's something special. This has electricity. This so from even we say if you have from somebody you love, you should keep an eyelash. But I knew that from home. I knew that if you love somebody, you want to keep a lock of a piece of hair. And as I didn't dare to ask, you see, I was still shy also. Mm-hmm. So I just collected, and I saw the girls embroidering with Baba's hair and all that. But I collected them. And then it was Kakas and Baba's hair, because there were two rooms and two beds, and I just thought Baba might be restless at night and might like to have, you know, a straight sheet and go to the other room. And then also my room was, Baba was up, and then there was another floor in between. And then down, I was absolutely, my room was at the end of... Under Baba's room. And sometimes when I used to look out at night, you see, and Baba had a light, or the shadow of Baba would fall, it was like a giant. And you see, Baba isn't so tall, but Baba sometimes, I seem to, he was much taller. I was one, when I was younger and standing straight, I was 170, and Baba is 168 in these hour measures, centimeters. And, but I always felt that Baba was much bigger than I was. And, but then also, you see, I don't know if one can say that or not. Of course, one can say, but maybe not write it, because I was so sometimes, you know, I had such agony from this agony of something which I couldn't understand, you know, or some upheaval or what you could call it, that I would go in the wood, that park was very big, and would knock my head on the tree, you know, because that mental agony was so strong that hurting my head would ease that agony of, and I think Baba has put it strong on me, because there was not much time. And when they went to Paris, they made an outing to Paris, and then Baba said, if I would like to come with them. I said, no, I think I should stay at home and look after Kipi and Knut. You know, that Knut Baba gave afterwards to me, to Switzerland, to keep until I left again. And then I said I would have to stay here, but I had to have, you know, it was so much I couldn't digest anymore. So I was really glad, in a sense, they would go away for a few, only 2-3 days, that I could recollect myself again. Because it was, you see, I don't know, as if I remembered things, and you see, I'm not a fantastic person, that I'm a little bit down to earth. I don't like people, you know, telling all sorts of stories. They have this and this experience, and they saw Baba walking. I mean, sometimes it was, you know, it isn't quite, they haven't read, but there it was, I mean, it was an upheaval. It was turning me upside down, really. And you see, it was a love much greater than anything else. You can't compare it really with the love of my friends. It's also nice, but it has nothing to do with that at all. And of course, I was watching, and sometimes, you know, I didn't mind. I couldn't feel any work I did. I didn't mind what work I did. I used to, as if I would walk about up above the ground. No, didn't touch me. With all this coal, you know, at least at home, I did homework, but we had two servants and cleaning woman. I didn't do the rough work myself. I learned it, but I didn't do this dirty work that the servant had to do. And I didn't mind how many dishes and how many people came for dinner. Or, you see, we, Norina and Elizabeth stayed and Kitty stayed in that house, and I think Rano. But the others stayed all in the only could the ladies could come for lunch or for this. Also, Anita didn't stay in the house. And I didn't mind. And in one letter, even Kitty repeats, you didn't mind however many people that came for lunch. I didn't mind. I just cooked. And I don't remember so well, but something I do. They said I used to cook so many cakes, you know, and with layers and all that. I mean, I don't know if I could do it now. And also I showed them how to knit, and in one letter, you see, this helps me to recall a lot. In one letter, Kitty wrote me, I should send some wool for the girls because they couldn't finish some socks. And I used to teach them how to knit and how to do things already in can. And then also I wanted to do a coat for Baba, and I took the measures. And when Elizabeth, after Ken, went to America, And then I had Kippy in that time because she couldn't keep. And when she came back, I gave a coat to her, a white woolen coat, which I had made for Baba, which she wore also afterwards on that first Christmas in 38, 39 in Marble Rocks. And it was just for Baba's birthday. It was ready before we came to, before we came to India. And so I could give it to Elizabeth. And my mother had painted a cup for Baba. I don't know if it still exists. Yes, she has painted something for Baba also. And I don't know, I sent a few things. And then, also, can you see, even if I cook, I don't know. And you know, it was so many stories to the platform upstairs where once, I think you must have heard of that dinner we had up there with the baked cauliflower, and Nadia stood in it and I was angry. I didn't think of her foot, which she, you know, it was bad to put in hot tea. But I was angry. She put in that lovely pie. She put that cauliflower pie. She put her foot in, but of course not for long, just for a short moment. But that, you see, we had to carry all the food all up those stairs. We were about 15 or more people, and it sat all on the floor around this square. It was very lovely. But you see, that I never felt tired. And at night when I should go to sleep, really, I very often stood at the window and thought maybe I can still see Baba's shadow. Because the shadow gets bigger, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt very, very bad when they left, you know, when I had to clear off the house. And suddenly this big house alone. And and then when I went back, you know, I felt really, I missed them so much. And when I asked Baba once, Baba, can I come to India once? And then Baba said yes. And then people told me, oh, you don't know. You won't be able for Westerners. It's terrible. It's too hard for Westerners to live in India. And because, you know, now Baba said he wouldn't have again like Nasik because that was luxury. But he also their men and women were together and some things happened and that is not according. And it's not only that, I think it's not only that Baba would have minded, but Baba... Baba has a name in India. And when we Europeans are there and we don't behave, it gives a bad name on Baba. I mean, it doesn't hurt him really, but it's if we are with him, it's the responsibility. And then we have to have stricter rules than we might have when we are outside. Because in India, we are seen, you know. I mean, everybody and the critics and all that. And then if we don't do something right, then they say it's from Baba. So, I mean, it's, and you can't behave in an ashram like you can't behave in a convent or anywhere. You can't behave the way you want. If you decide to be at the place, you have to behave as it's asked you.
So you were very happy when you heard the Baba was going to allow you to come back in
there. Yes, but you see, first I had no idea. And then I told my, I never really asked permission for my parents. I just talked about India all the time, and I could go. And you see, at that time, my father had already, before we were ready, but he had, his business wasn't well, good, and he wasn't so well in his health. But still, you know, we kept the big house and we had the servants. We couldn't just cut down, but then we, the money wasn't just to, you know, and we didn't work. None of us girls worked. They all studied, went to university. I took course and then I went to Baba. So you see, the upkeep of our household was big, and to spend money for, to go away and all that, that was, that was quite a question. But, and then you see my brother-in-law, who wanted to marry me, we were almost engaged. I mean, we could almost say engaged. They right now, I was engaged, but it was on the point of engagement that I wasn't, but now I can't tell them it wasn't that way. I mean, it was almost like that. So whether it was official or not, it doesn't matter. And he told my father that he should let me go also. Because, and you see, my father always being spiritual and loving Baba, he couldn't say no, because it would be against his own principles and his ideas. And then my brother-in-law also said to my father, let her go. And he intended a year later to come and fetch me home. And then the war broke out. And Baba said, anyhow, we should be prepared for 2 years. But you see, that you can't, Baba asks this, but he might send you back after a week, and you might afterwards, you might stay your whole your life. And so when that came, that we could go to India, I just talked about India. I mean, my father never said no or yes, I just went. And because for my father to let me go, it was really also, it was for Baba, because he loved me very much, you see. And at home, when even we had servants, even if only I cooked the meal, I didn't have to prepare the things. The servant had to clean and wash the potatoes and all that, and I used to do the cooking. And my father would be happy. Not my mother cooked, but he liked if I cooked.
But did you get jaundice on the way to India?
No, I got only jaundice when I already was in India. Right. When in that Aminagar, you know, in that office building, the cantonment. First, when we came, for the Westerns came, we went to the cantonment office building, because the Mehrabad wasn't finished. And there I got malaria and jaundice. Mm-hmm. But not just after a few weeks or so. Mm-hmm.
So you began staying there. The Mehra was in Mehrabad still?
Pardon?
Mehra.
No, they were all there. In that
PWD.
Yes, we were all there. Okay.
And then when you shifted to Mehrabad, you were in the hospital looking after the
patients. Yes. When the hospital opened, I was there looking after the patients.
And then Mehra would mostly be attending to Baba's things, cooking?
Yes. Yes.
Did you do things together with her at that time also?
Not cooking. Yeah. But we used to, not so much at first, because I was so much taken in with us. This started gradually. Yeah. More and more, you know.
Would she tell you things about Baba's old days when you were together?
Oh, yes, that anyhow. She would talk about Baba, and she'd tell also about how when she was a young girl, and she told, I mean, I don't remember now, but she told me also of her family and how her mother went to Upazni and all that, and she had a sister. And I mean, that's what she told me, how she used to horse ride. Those, even she told me where they lived, but I forgot. I forgot. Yeah. But yeah.
You met the sister too, didn't you?
No, I never met the sister, because at that time she was usually a bit deranged. But the children, when the children came, Meru and Nagu, I used to look after them, and I used to play with them. And also it is referred now in a letter. I think Nagu wrote it or somebody wrote it, that I used to, you know, make homework with them and look after them and see to their needs, because they were two small children at that time.
And when you all got sick in Bhopal, what actually was the matter with you?
Well, I didn't get sick in Bhopal. That was Helen, and she had colitis. Because I was at that time, well, I looked after her. And I even cooked her food there for her. Because, you see, she couldn't speak German, English, and she wouldn't understand. And she also, she was difficult also. If I stayed in her room, she was angry. If I stayed outside, she was angry. And if I ate my meal with the nurses, sometimes she didn't like it. And if I ate it with her, every time I was eating in there, she had to do toilet. But you see, but that I shouldn't say in that way, because I don't think this is fair. One mustn't say this in a negative way. because if you have colitis, it affects you. You get depressed. Yes. For colitis is a disease which causes depression. And for her, it was very hard. You know.
We don't know how she came into contact with Polly.
It is long, long ago. She came into contact through Heidi Mertens. And you see, sometimes these big houses, they have also sort of social circles and all that. And she, how she got to know Helen, I don't know, but Helen was there right from the beginning. But she was always very queer. She always used to wear funny sort of, you know, almost like a monk sort of clothes. She sewed herself, and you know, kimono and sort of rough wool or silk, and the turban, and you see, and she was, you know, she was really living quite by herself. I lived way near her. And she was living in a way, she hadn't much money also. And she had a friend, a girlfriend, and then afterwards they were almost like married and they fought very bad. And that also hurt her, you see. And she came from a very rich home and then they lost money and she had to look first after the family and they had to rent rooms. And only later she could back out and go to Munich and study. So you see, she had a terribly hard life. And then when she was living alone, she in that peasant house, she was sort of, you know, sort of meditating and sort of almost, you know, painting ghosts and you know, almost too much thinking this was spiritual. You see, many people think if you meditate and if you put yourself so much in these things that you almost go crazy, that this isn't all, doesn't necessarily mean spirituality. And so you see, that's why for her to come to an ashram, one should really have known for her, it was terribly, terribly hard. So we can't criticize her. And you know, not knowing English. And Kitty used to go terribly on her nerves. Because you see, Kitty did men's well, but she too much commotion. And before she was more, now she's much calmer. And it's wonderful what she does in her age. But for, you see, somebody like Nadine who fidgeted all the time. You see, we were, when we came in that cantonment house, we were in the same room. Here on the window was Heidi. There are two windows to the porch. Here was Heidi. Here was Nadine. And there was another window. Here was I. And here was Helen. Or that I don't remember on which, either here's here. Now you see, Nadine was a fetchy. Always something, you know, always something. And for somebody like Helen, this was like a
torture.
Yes, it was a torture for her. And imagine we had there a chamber, you know, a chamber pot there, and I was ill. Heidi was more or less ill. She almost, the people said if she goes to India, she will die on the boat. I was well, so I looked after her. And then there also, Bob made her almost always lay down. And you see, the things is now also. But that you mustn't put to paper. I only tell you for information. You see, Heidi tells now many things, or has even, I have some accounts of hers, which she doesn't know I have, and I'm not going to tell, because she's given what she has, so many things to Ivy. And I think we should also have things here.
Sure.
So I have some diary and some letters of hers, also from another lady, Alice Scheitin, who could not go to India because she was too ill, she died after. It's a very nice, very interesting woman.
Alice
Scheitin.
How do you
spell her last name? Scheitlin. Scheitlin.
And she met Baba.
Yes, she had met Baba, and she was all. And I have letters from Heidi which she wrote to Alice. But you see, I didn't give them back to Heidi because when she got older, she forgot. And because she gave everything to Ivy. And so I thought, when we want to have some reports or recall somebody, then we don't have anything. And so, I mean, it's not fair that I don't tell her, but I haven't even told, Nuria has had them. But I didn't tell Gisela because she doesn't keep. No, she doesn't. She gets mixed up. She doesn't. She's very kind-hearted, and she means well. But it doesn't always good. Sometimes, you know, they don't. Some things they don't think, and they say things. And so I didn't tell Gisela and Max that I have all these papers, because you see, I think it's good to have them. And also, I have to find out who can take all the things, Baba things I have, because I wouldn't want them to get in the hands of Gisela.
Right.
Because I think as clever and as good as she is, she's not the right person for it. And I would have given it to Felix, but Felix is not here. So I have to find out that those things must be either sent to America or to India, whether it's German or English, anything I have, I pass off, that it must be given to somebody, but I have to, because I loved horses.
Yeah.
Baba's hair.
That's what's, oh my God, that's incredible.
Imagine that lovely work.
It's a little pin.
And you see this ring, if you look inside.
Baba's photo.
Yes. Cool. But you have to look at a certain angle.
These are amazing. But see, these are very special.
Yes, you see, and I don't want this to go in the wrong hands.
It should be.